As we continue in 1 John this morning, our text, if you would turn in your Bibles, 1 John chapter 2, and our text is chapter 2, verse 28 through chapter 3 and verse 10. 1 John 2, 28 through 3, 10, verse 10. And the title of the message this morning is very simply, Children of God. In today's climate and culture, it can certainly be said that there are things that can define us as individual people, and those things can unfortunately divide us as well. We are seeing this played out daily on the nightly news. Those things that can divide us today are things like our race, our heritage, our nationality, which we know from our study of James that there is no place for partiality. There is no place for prejudice in the life of a believer. We know that is sin, and we must love as Christ loves. But we all know we live in a fallen, sinful world, and these things can divide people. But we should not let these things, we should not let our race, our nationalities, or our heritage define who we are. Yes, I am proud to be Italian. Does that mean that I love chicken parmesan? Yes. But is that what defines me? Am I known as the guy who likes chicken parm? I hope not. I'm also a Luciano, and I am proud of my family and of my heritage. But again, that should not be what defines me in my actions. Yes, I'm a Luciano, but I am also a child of God. Now that is what must define me. That is what must define my actions. And yes, that is what I should be known as to others, a child of God. If you are a believer, if you have taken that first step of faith, and you are a child of God, and that is what should be the thing that defines you as well. Children of God, that is the subject of our passage today as we continue in 1 John. I'll read our passage, 1 John 2, 28 through 3, verse 10. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appears was to destroy the work of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this, it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Children of God versus children of the devil is the topic. John is providing assurance that as a believer continues in Jesus, as you walk in the light, you can know that you are a child of God. In this section today, we are going to see you can know you are a child of God because you are doing what is right. We come to verse 28. This is a transition verse from false teachers that we've talked about to concern for the children of God. The transitions reinforces abide in him. The children of God, those who abide in him, have the confidence in God when Christ appears. Verse 28 says, "And now, little children," we know from a few weeks ago when John addresses little children, he is addressing the entire congregation, not just the literal little children there. "And now, little children, and now all of you, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming." In this verse, we find three words that should encourage us to live in fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and with the Spirit. The first word we come to is abide. Abide. We talked about this at the end of the message last week, that we are to abide in him. Now we find the same thing in verse 28, abide. Abiding in Christ is very important. I said last week that you abide in Christ by believing the truth, obeying the truth, and loving others, loving other Christians. Again, this idea of abiding in Christ is a way to live a true Christian life of walking in the light. The second word we come to that gives us encouragement is appears. So that when he appears, we may have confidence, verse 28 says. John is talking about the promised return of Christ. John goes into greater detail on this subject of future events in the book of Revelations. There's a lot of opinions and a lot of great debate over the details of the future events among many believers. And I am certainly not going to attempt to tackle that topic today. But I would say we all agree that Christ is returning for his children. The fact that Jesus Christ may return at any moment should be an incentive for us to live in fellowship with him, to abide in him, to be obedient to his word, and to have the confidence to live the Christian life of walking in the light. And we do this not out of fear, but we do this out of love. That brings us to the third word in this verse, shame. Not shrink from him in shame at his coming. We are to be the children walking in the light as he is in the light. We are to be children abiding in him. If we are living in the light and living for eternity and not for the here and now, we will have confidence when he appears and not shame. In him, we have the confidence to walk in the light. In me, I have shame and no confidence. That is why I must abide in him and not in me. I need him so I have confidence every day to walk in the light, to progress on my spiritual walk, so that when that day comes, we don't know when it will come. But Lord willing, when it comes, we have the confidence and not shame when he appears. Then we come to verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. John, who we know has been teaching what is from the beginning, to be born of God and to become his child means to accept as the standard for Christian conduct, the Father's righteousness, as revealed through the Son, Jesus Christ. If you are truly born of Him, as the verse ends, then you will practice righteousness. We talked about this a few weeks ago in 1 John 2 and verse 6. Walk in the same way in which He walked, doing what is right. That brings us to our first point. What we shall be. God the Father loves us. In our sin and defiance, God loved us and sent His Son to die. So that what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. The first part of chapter 3 and verse 1 tells us the divine appointed plan of salvation begins with love of God. Because of that, and through His love, we can be called the children of God. Yes, of course, we are saved by grace of God, but the means of our salvation was originated in the love of God. Because we have experienced that love of the Father, we should have no desire to live in sin. We are God's children. So we cannot expect the world to understand this relationship we have because it does not understand God. John warns them that the world is unable to recognize them or relate to them. This should not be surprising because the world did not recognize God. The end of verse 1 tells us, the reason why the world does not know us is it did not know Him. Those who belong to the world live in darkness. They cannot come to the light and understand. John wants his readers to know that approval by the world is to be feared, not wanted. If you are hated by the world, yes, it may be hard, it may be unkind, but it should reassure the believer that they are loved by God, which we all know is much more important than being accepted by the world. Now in verse 2, we see what we shall be. Verse 2 says, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. Even though we are God's children, now our full nature will be revealed in the future. What we will be has not yet appeared, John tells us. The full nature will be revealed in His time. Jesus will appear, and we will see Him as He truly is. His full glory will be revealed. John goes on to say, we shall be like Him. This is the teaching that we have heard from the beginning. It is what Paul teaches in Romans 8. We shall be conformed to the image of His Son. Also, we see this in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. That says, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We will one day, when He returns, see His full glory, and we will be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. What a great hope we have as children. What a great hope we have as God's children. We see from verse 3 that all who have their hope in Jesus, their hope of being like Him one day when He appears, if that is your hope, we must also be committed to keeping ourselves from sin. Verse 3 tells us, and everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Our objective is to be like Him in purity and righteousness. We have already talked about in our study of First John, the great example we have in Jesus and how we must walk as He walked, We have the example of his earthly life to follow as we grow and as we progress in our Christian walk, as we wait for his coming. We must not live in sin or disobedience to his commands. We must be abounding. We must have hope in him. We must purify ourselves as he is pure. We see identified in verse 4 the opposite of verse 3. Verse 4 says, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. John here uses the word sin to describe the transgression of the law, the breaking of the commandments of God. And then lawlessness is defining sin as rebellion against God. It was connected with Satan's rebellion against God. Lawlessness, rebellion against God, is incompatible with being born of God. However, the false teachers of that time were teaching that sin, as it is defined as transgression of the law, was not lawlessness. They claimed to be sinless or guiltless in his sight, which John has taught, and we know their claim of sinlessness is a lie. Their lawlessness shows that they do not belong to God, but to the devil. John is teaching that sin, breaking of the law, is lawlessness. It is rebellion against God's law. We have seen what the children of God shall be in the future. Now we're going to look at what we are in Christ now. What we are in Christ. John turns from the future appearing of Jesus to his past appearing. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. John again is teaching what we have heard, what we have received from the beginning. John is going to show us why Jesus came to die. Right away in verse 5, we see he appeared. He came to take away sin. And it again emphasizes, in him there is no sin. After a person has become a child of God, born again by faith in Jesus Christ, he cannot practice lawlessness, rebellion. Why? Jesus Christ was without sin, as we see in this verse, but also because he died to take away sin. As we have seen, sin is lawlessness, and Jesus appeared on this earth in order to remove it. Because Jesus was sinless, the devil had no hold on him. Therefore, Jesus was able to destroy the works of the devil. One commentary had this to say about this verse. But in addition, Jesus' sinlessness reveals what kind of lifestyle is proper for those who abide in him. John uses the present tense, in him is no sin, to emphasize that sinlessness is characteristic of Jesus' eternal nature. He went on to say, he was sinless in his pre-existence, in his life, in the flesh, and in his eternal position as Son. The work on the cross was to take away sin. Therefore, we see verse 6, he came to take away our sin, so no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Abide is a topic that John keeps talking about. To abide in Christ means to be in fellowship with him, to allow nothing to come between you and Christ. When we abide in Christ, he keeps us from deliberately disobeying his word. This verse might seem to contradict what we talked about in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 10. And they say this, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And verse 10 says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We know these two verses and then we read the verse from our text today in verse 6. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. As we know, the Bible will not contradict itself and is not contradicting itself in this verse now. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. We know we are fallen, sinful people. We know we need to depend and trust and abide in God's grace every day to keep us from falling into sin. We know we are going to fall. We know we are going to sin. We also know we have a promise that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. This passage is not talking about a person who stumbles, a person who sins, and then asks for forgiveness. He asks forgiveness from God, who is faithful and just to forgive sin. No, this verse is talking about a person who deliberately and habitually sins. A person like that is proving that he does not know Christ and he is not abiding in him. Look in this a little more. John, when writing this letter, was facing two different false teachings that he is addressing in this verse. There were teachers who claimed to be sinless by nature, teaching that they were not able to sin because they were born of God. As great as that would be, we know we are born with a sin nature and need God's grace to forgive us our sin. Then there were other teachers who taught they could have a standing with God apart from a life of righteousness. They believed that the commandments had no authority over them, or more specifically, over their flesh. They taught that it was a matter of indifference to God whether they sinned or not. So they taught you could hate your brother without guilt or concern. Of course, we know that is not true. We know that goes directly against what we have heard from the beginning. That is why John acknowledges that a life of righteousness is only possible in Christ. But those who continue to sin make it certain that they have never known him. Again in verse 7, John is addressing the entire congregation as he addresses them as little children. In verse 7 and 8, John is showing the contrast between the righteous and the sinning of the people who make a practice of sin. The verses say this: little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the work of the devil. We see again in verse 7, John is warning the entire congregation to let no one deceive you. He is talking about the false teachers that we talked about last week, the deceivers who want to lead you astray from Christ. The message here is clear. If a man knows God, he will obey God. If he belongs to the devil, he will obey the devil. The contrast here is between Christ, who has no sin, and the devil, who can do nothing but sin. The person who knows Christ and who has been delivered from the bondage of sin through Christ's death on the cross has no desire to obey Satan and live a life of constant sin. In chapter 3, we can see the progression of sin, and John writes about it. John starts off with sinfulness being lawlessness, being rebellion against God. Then John shows us that it is incompatible with Christ. Verse 5 of our passage today says, "You know that he appeared in order to take away sin." Then he goes on to show that it is incompatible for anyone who lives in Christ. From verse 6, "No one who abides in him keeps on sinning." Now he shows the demonic nature of sin. Its source is the devil, who for the devil has been sinning from the beginning, as verse 8 tells us. God will destroy the devil and all his works, including those children of the devil who accept sinning as a way of life. We can see the devil from the beginning was evil. We can see the characteristic, the very being of those like the false teachers, of those that make a practice of sinning, comes from the devil. His desire to become their desires. Like him, they become liars and deceivers of the truth. Those who continue in sin without remorse, without conviction, prove to be children of sin and children of the devil, as verse 10 tells us, and we'll see. John in verse 9 summarizes what he said in verse 6. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. But in verse 9, he adds, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. John tells us no one who is born of God or has God's seed in him can continue to sin. The believer must abide in him, and the Father, in turn, dwells in the believer. Now we come to verse 10. This verse tells us how the children of God can be recognized and how the children of the devil can be recognized. It says, "By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother." John tells us whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. If God is love, and if God loves us, and we abide in him, then love for other believers will occur as an expression of righteousness without exception. John is not stressing absolute perfection or sinlessness. He is stressing that you cannot both abide in him, be a child of God, and live in continual unrepentant sin. He is also stressing love for one's brother and sister in Christ if you abide in him. We have looked at what God's children shall be one day. In Christ, when he appears again, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Then we looked at what we are in Christ. We are his children, the children of God. He appeared in order to take away sin. Because of that, a child of God, a person who abides in him, will not keep sinning. They will not practice sinning or practice lawlessness. For if you do, you are not a child of God. We know we will fall. We know we will sin, but if we confess our sin, we also know he is faithful and just to forgive us. This is not the same as living or practicing sin and lawlessness. Then we ended with the evidence of who is a child of God and who is a child of the devil. Whoever practices righteousness and who loves his brother is a child of God. Whoever does not practice righteousness and does not love his brother is a child of the devil. We, as children of God, must live a righteous life. And we can only do this if we abide in him. If we look to him every day for the grace that we need to live a righteous life. We cannot do this in our own strength or with our own will. We must depend and abide in Him to give us the grace and the strength we need daily to live as a child of God, to hate sin, to flee from it, and cling to Christ as our Savior. A child of God must depend on the power of the Spirit. When temptation comes, we must turn to Christ for victory. Abiding in the Word, knowing the Word of God, will help keep us from sin. The true child of God does not practice sin and loves other brothers and sisters in Christ. By God's grace, are you living as a child of God, or are you practicing sin and living a life that would not be identified as a child of God? If you are not living as a child of God today, it is not too late. We know we have been given the promise. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. As our passage tells us, He came to defeat sin. So in Him, we have victory. We can live a life walking in the light. We can live a life abiding in Him. Let's pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we humbly come to seek Your grace, to seek Your strength, that we can walk in the light, that we can walk as children of God. Lord, I pray that as we go, as we live, that we would live as children of God, that we would live righteous lives, that we would purify ourselves, that we would not desire to live a life of sin, that we would not be accepted by the world, but Lord, that we would live a life of righteousness, that we would live a life free of lawlessness, so that we can live a life dedicated to You. But help us to abide in You every day. Help us to seek Your grace every day to live this life of righteousness that we have. Lord, help us to abide in the Word. Help us to know the Word, that will help us progress in our progression, in our walk, in our growth in You. Lord, we know we can only do these things through You. And Lord, we praise You, for You are our holy, gracious God who has come to take away the sin of the world, that we can put our hope and trust in You. Lord, we praise You today. We seek Your grace. We seek Your guidance every day in our life. Lord, we pray this in Your name. Amen.